Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 11:45, Andy Reid going to speak to the media for the first time since, of course, the game over the weekend, and since maybe we got some more reports out there about Patrick Mahomes and his availability, including about the left tackle situation, DJ Humphreys, all that's coming up at 11:40 right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. That's why Nate Taylor's joining us a little bit earlier today with the availability moved around a little bit. So Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joins us thanks to Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, good to have you on the show, man. Appreciate you working with us on the schedule and everything. So I'll just start with a question on everybody's mind. What are you hearing? What's the latest here with Patrick Mahomes in the ankle? I could have just re-aired that question from 3 years ago and 2 years ago, I think.
Good morning, fellas. Thank you for having me on. And,
of course.
Yeah, happy to adjust here. Look, I just want to remind everybody in my beloved hometown that we know the quarterback, right? We know who this man is. We have 8 years of evidence. He's going to try, guys. He really is. Like, he's maniacal in this sense, which is to be applauded and obviously respected. But he's going to try. He's going to try to practice. I reported that yesterday on theathletic.com. Now, again, I don't know if he's going to practice today. If this is going to be basically the rest period, which also I would understand why they would choose to do that, them being the Chiefs, because obviously when was the last time Carson Wentz had first team reps? Let me tell you something, kids. It's been in August.
True.
So you could say, hey, let's try to reduce the swelling, the soreness as much as we can. Obviously, you're not going to get rid of the pain. But my belief is that Patrick is going to try to practice, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, obviously heading into Saturday's game. And again, once again, everybody, this is Andy Reid. This is the oldest coach in the NFL, which means he does things by old school rules, which means if you don't practice, you don't play. Patrick knows that. And unless, you know, I think the only experience we've really had is that's similar to this, if Patrick doesn't practice, is of course in the 2021 postseason when he had the concussion against Cleveland. He had to go through each part of the concussion protocol to get ready to play against the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game. So that's one exception, but it hasn't been a lot of times where Andy's let you miss the entire week of practice and then allowed you to play in the game. So Patrick understands that. I don't think this is as bad as it was in 2022 in terms of, you know, that postseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's a chance, but he's maniacal enough that he's probably going to practice, whether it's in some limited capacity, whether it's, you know, Wednesday or Thursday.
I just kind of go back to like that clip, like anytime, like we just had Vinny Pasquantino on. We asked him like if somebody tried to keep Bobby out of a game, and he was like, do you think he plays 161 because the coaching staff wants him to? Like, that's just not how it works. I go back to that clip, right, when he was hurt and he had to be helped off the field and he was yelling at Andy, I'm good. And he's like, go get an X-ray and then we'll decide if you're good. Like, Andy stood up to him in that moment, but Pat still, right, got back in the game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And again, I don't think no one's told me it's as bad as it was in that postseason run in 2022. Again, I just want to remind everybody, he was so stiff the Wednesday before the AFC Championship game. So stiff. I thought, the man can barely walk. How's he going to play football? Guess what, kids? He played one of the most admirable, commendable AFC Championship games we have ever seen. And choosing the perfect time to use his legs to get in field goal range, obviously, before the end of regulation. Now, I understand why a lot of people are saying, okay, you have these two games in a 10-day window. If you want to give Patrick all 10 days, you should rest him because you do have essentially a one-game lead in the one seed, and then obviously you can roll him back out against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The reason why you would also do that, too, is there's a much better chance that DJ Humphries is available to play that game as well versus Saturday, right? He's like sort of the sub, he's sort of the subplot to all of this week where, you know, there was no chance he was playing against the Browns. There's a small chance he might play against the Texans. But again, based on what Joe Tooney did against the Browns, you could at least, you know, use him as another gap starter for another week. But that might be one of the deciding factors too. Hey, not only is it about Patrick's individual health, it's also the health of his supposedly starting left tackle who also got hurt in his first game this season after coming off an ACL. So if you want to give him another 10 days, you might time both of those players to be ready to go on Christmas Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's one theory I've heard that could lead, you know, the team to say, hey, we need to see something from Carson Wentz. It's the reason why we obviously signed him in the offseason. And by the way, even if you play on Saturday, there's no guarantee you get DJ Humphries to be your left tackle as well.
I was going to ask you about Humphries because I think in the first half against the Browns, there was a lot of people that were saying, well, okay, well, they found their left tackle solution. It's Joe Tooney, good to go. And then second half happened, and we're like, oh, wait, this is still maybe not the best thing in the world. So DJ Humphries, in your what you know, they're going to give him at least one other crack at this thing?
I think so. I think they're going to see how he does throughout the course of the week. That's one of the more difficult things is obviously hamstring injuries are nagging. And it's, by the way, kids, it's his left hamstring, which you kind of need that when you're trying to protect the edge against a edge rusher, whether that's Will Anderson or obviously TJ Watt if he's on the field on Christmas Day. They're going to see how he does throughout this week. There's obviously a chance he could play. I would give him maybe a greater percentage than Patrick Mahomes just because of the schedule nature of what this team is trying to do. But I also understand the fact that, hey, Joe Tooney is capable, but there's a reason, kids, why he's not a left tackle, okay? He doesn't have the greatest arm length. He's so technically sound, but I think in the second half, the Browns, whether it's Myles Garrett or just the whole coaching staff, figured out, okay, this is the way we can beat him. And so for a half, you got away with it because there was no tape of how Joe Tooney was going to look as the left tackle. That's why you sort of hide that secret as long as you can. But, you know, these coaches are smart, and Myles Garrett is, you know, the presumptive, you know, defensive player of the year, and he just bull rushed the hell out of Joe Tooney. I don't know how much he can withstand that week after week, but what he did was admirable. So, again, you might see Saturday in the regular season home finale, Joe Tooney protecting, you know, Carson Wentz just because you still have a lead in the race for the one seed. And depending on what Buffalo does, you might need to win the last two games of the regular season, whether that's against, obviously, the Steelers on Christmas Day, and then you get sort of an extended period before you play, I would assume, the Denver Broncos on that Saturday before the Sunday slate if the Chiefs need to win to get the one seed. So if DJ Humphries can play, great, but the issue is, will he re-aggravate it? Will he tweak his hamstring again? Can he string games together, not just, you know, hey, you played three and a half quarters and you were okay. They need to see incremental progress, and the only way for that to happen is to ensure that he's going to get through Saturday's game if he plays with a quick turnaround on Sunday. Again, one of the reasons why you might say, let's keep both of these guys on the shelf because they need as much rest as possible if we have to win the last two games of the regular season.
Nate, I don't think the stat sheet tells the whole story on quarterback play often, especially sometimes this year with Mahomes, where I thought he played better than maybe it would indicate based on score or that, and he was kind of overcoming some of that. I did not think that about the last game. I thought this was the worst game he played all season. Do you agree? And I guess if you do, what went wrong?
You know, that's interesting because I understand what you're saying, Cody. I still don't think he played terrible. I mean, he had a couple touchdowns, no interceptions, although he did throw in the double covers to Justin Watson.
Yeah, when he had a wide open Worthy on that one, too.
Yes. But he's had misses all year, very similar to that in terms of his reads or, you know, basically not even letting that part of the play be available to him based on his pre-snap reads and obviously his film study. I don't know if that was his worst game of the year. I think you can make an argument that against the Raiders was pretty bad because, you know, the left tackle play and the fact that, like, he let his frustrations, you know, sort of seep out and he never found a way to sort of get himself balanced. I think he started the game against the Browns a lot better than they did against the Raiders. I know divisional games are a little bit more tricky because there's obviously the inherent history with one another. I don't feel like it was that bad, but at the same time too, like every once in a while, Jawan Taylor's getting pushed into my lap. Okay. I have to speed up my clock because Joe Tooney's back there. Mike Caliendo hadn't played all season. That's his first career start. So, you know, like I'm a little footwork's all over the place. Accuracy's a little up and down. I just want people to understand this. For as well as Josh Allen has played this season, there are stretches in just about every game this season where I thought Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback on God's green earth. And it's wild to say that because Josh Allen has been so freaking good, and even Lamar Jackson against weaker competition can do something similar. Patrick has still had a marvelous season. When you put it into the context of the entire circumstances surrounding him, and it was, you could almost argue it was bound to happen because he was taking on so much of a burden, both physically, mentally, and hey man, can you drag us across the finish line for another one score game? I try to give a little bit of leniency on the fact that, like, not every game's going to be great. It was also very windy, very wet. I mean, the Browns are terrible. You don't have to bring your A game. Like, you really don't. But the problem is he couldn't even get through the game because I thought the coaching staff did him a disservice more than his actual play was to be criticized more. I understand your question, Cody. And I understand the thought process. But the coaching staff put him out there on a 4th-and-3 when there was no need to go forward on 4th-and-3 with a 2-score lead when you can just punt the ball away.
Yeah, we talked about some of those, I thought, coaching blunders. That was one of them, just the idea of having a 2-touchdown lead and having 2 3-and-outs, not trying to run the football once. He challenged a play that was already replay assisted, if I'm not mistaken, which that makes no sense. You're challenging the people you need to challenge it, you know, to overturn it again. Like, you're still odd. And look, and it's like, whenever we say that, there's always somebody on the text line that'll be like, so, you know, he's going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time. Like, yes, that still applies, but it doesn't mean there aren't still mistakes. Nobody's saying he's not the best coach and I would trade him with any other coach in football.
He had a bad day.
But it was not a good day at the office.
No. It's such a strange thing. Like, and I know some people have sort of put this out there. They were so focused in, like, the first quarter. You could say even for the first half, right? It's unfortunate that coaching blunders leads to Harrison Butker screaming at his long snapper, "Where are you?" Then he misses the field goal. It sort of it compounds. But overall, from an offensive coaching standpoint, I thought, hey, that's a pretty clean first half. Patrick didn't get killed. They were wise to get the ball out on time, to use some misdirection, some creativity. Hey, they have a lead, which is what people have been asking for weeks. Like, hey, can you just get a 2-score lead and sort of salt the game away? And then I don't know what the hell happened after halftime where – it was almost like they just started getting greedy. When, again, there's no need to get greedy when you know the moment you walked into that stadium, hey, man, we have 3 games in 11 days. Like, we shouldn't put anything on film if we don't have to, because we have such a grind and a time crunch in terms to game plan for the next two opponents, by the way, going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, this could be the first part of a rematch that, you know, we need to figure out a way to sort of win, but also not get, like, not show too much. Or, like, hey, why is Carson Steele's jersey clean? Why? Like, he's out there. He needs reps. Like, use him. It's one of the most baffling things I've seen of an Andy Reid coached, you know, of a whole coaching organization. I won't really put the defense into this sort of realm, but the idea of, like, okay, if you're going to bring Harrison Butker back, but he can't do kickoffs? huh?
Then don't bring him back. Yeah.
Yeah. Why
then
do you
don't bring him back?
Why do you? Yeah, we were going to talk about that. What do you think the thought process was there? We know what kind of kicker he is when he's healthy, but Matthew Wright was doing fine filling in. If you need another week to be able to kick off, or if you think the miss was just because of the guys running on the field late, maybe that's fine. Otherwise, you know, Lawrence Tynes, former Chiefs kicker, obviously everybody knows who he is. He was on Twitter saying that Butker is still doing something that's not sustainable, which is the what he's doing with his plant leg, the knee drop. Yeah.
Yes. The knee drop, which, you know, if you look at film earlier this year, he wasn't doing it nearly as often as he did it previous to the injury. So, or previous to him needing surgery. Yeah, I think a little bit of it is the just misbungling of the operation in terms of getting out there. But they understand that, hey, if we can give Harrison Butker four games, then he will sort of get back in rhythm. He'll get locked in. He'll be ready to go for the postseason. Okay, that's fine. I kind of understand that from a big picture standpoint. But also, Matthew Wright has missed a kick all time since he was here. And, yes, you can say, like, kicking in Cleveland is not easy. I mean, it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. A lot of kickers miss, especially in the second half of the season. But you're the better team. Like, it shouldn't – you know, it really shouldn't come down to it if you're handling your business. And, of course, Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston. So I thought that was perplexing. It's good refs for Justin Reed in terms of the kickoff because you might use that element in a playoff game, of course, against a pretty good return team. But some of the decisions the coaching staff made or were allowed to make were easily criticizable. Like, you could easily criticize them for saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't be passing the ball this often when your quarterback's already dealt with an ankle injury before, and now he's as healthy as you could possibly be. But again, 3 games in 11 days. Hey, maybe we shouldn't have Chris Jones take a million snaps. By the way, 3 games in 11 days. Hey, maybe we shouldn't have Harrison Butker, you know, we don't need him right now. We literally don't need him. He's coming off of a knee surgery, okay? Not a minor thing. We don't need him right now, but I mean, I guess if you just – I know he's the highest paid kicker, but, like, we just got to put him back out there. There's been a disconnect for the last couple – I would say there's been a disconnect for the last month in terms of, like, what could and should have been done versus what the team has chosen to do to get wins, and congratulations, you've won a lot of these games, but you are seeing the cumulative effect and the burden and the grind as you're trying to get the one seed, and now your quarterback's in jeopardy.
Yeah, what doesn't make sense is they've usually been the opposite. Like, the thing I warned the audience of, Nate, is like, hey, if you think a guy's coming back Saturday, try a Saturday from now or the Saturday after that, and then you'll probably get their realistic timeline. And for some reason, they rushed Butker back, which made just no sense to me after watching him kick. Speaking of one person who I don't think is being rushed back, but I might as well ask, we all assume the announcement of Clyde Edwards-Helaire being released by the team yesterday is because Hollywood Brown's coming back. He playing on Saturday?
That's one possibility. The other one, too, is, and I wondered about this yesterday once the news came out, Dave Merritt's gotta be like, does Dave Merritt still have hair on the top of his head?
I don't know, man. I'd be losing it.
He's gotta be losing it.
You think they're activating Steven Nelson or something?
So that's a possibility, right? Like, hey, kid. By the way, this is the same thing they did to DJ Humphries. They might do to Steven Nelson. Hey, congratulations. Great to have you aboard the team. Hey, man, just hang out this week. Just grasp everything. Get your head in the playbook. You know, you're a veteran. You've been through this. Next week. Yeah, remember everything I just said? Scrap all that. Ready to play. Because, God, we need you. And I just wonder, again, against better competition, that they were like, all right, we're going to start Joshua Williams. He'll be fine. Get Najee in there. Chris Roland Wallace. I'm just like, guys, like, what are we doing? So, yes, Hollywood Brown will probably play, I would think, on Christmas Day, more so than Saturday. But, hey, you never know. Maybe it's another just element to throw out there for Carson Wentz, if Carson Wentz is the starter. But I also think, too, that, like, hey, can we get Steven Nelson 3 games? Can he hold up? Can he give us anything that is, like, semblance of competence? Or, like, hey, he won't make a major mistake, you know, whereas there's just a lot more variance of, like, Joshua Williams, really good play. Joshua Williams. What was that? You know, and it's like, Najee Johnson, hey, nice play on fourth down. Najee Johnson, can you not shed a block, son? You know, it's like they just have such a roller coaster ride at cornerback too. I also thought about that as well, as to like
With Connor too, right? I mean, there's no way Connor's playing Saturday. Yeah. He didn't know where the hell he was at.
Correct. Yeah, Connor's in the concussion protocol. Statistically, you have less than a 50% chance on a short week when you have a concussion on game day. So,
well, I'll say I love Jaden Hicks' play, so that's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he needs the experience, and I understand that. But, of course, you're down one body without anybody that you've replaced so far, i.e. Ken Steven. And also, can Steven Nelson play on the outside to where Trent McDuffie can go back to his natural position, which I don't know, guys, but, like, when Tamari Connor got hurt, unfortunately, hey, Trent, go back in that slot, or go back to being the versatile cornerback outside, inside. And, man, he played really well, the highest graded player in Pro Football Focus's evaluation of Sunday's game. So, you know, if Steven Nelson's on the field or at least available, that can give you another player to put on the perimeter to whereas, hey, Nico Collins or whoever's in the slot for the Texans, you could put Trent McDuffie and feel pretty good about that matchup.
All right, Nate, we'll let you go, man. I know you got some press conference and media availability coming up. We'll hear from Andy Reid at 11:45. We'll check in next week. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Anytime. And just by the way, I just want to tell the audience, if you think Andy Reid is telling us anything, that's...
Why would you say that? We're trying to get him to listen to this. Andy's going to say everything.
Hey, please, I'm going to try to do my job, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to listen. Obviously, I love 96 times, but also...
He's going to put the x-ray up on the screen and give point by point about what's going on with the ankle.
Yeah. If you think Andy Reid's going to be like, sure, I know exactly what we're doing. Oh, boy, that would be a new one.
Yeah, it would be. There you go. That's Nate Taylor from The Athletic. He is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Yeah, could
We're
you imagine?
We're trying to have a well-rated midday show.
That's right.
Here,
coming
you know?
Up at 11:45, Andy Reid will tell us the exact plan that they have for the entire week with Patrick Mahomes. When he'll practice, what he won't practice.
Who
and
the second shooter was on the grassy knoll. He has all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
All of that's coming up at 11:45 today on Cody Ingold.
And probably say they're just getting in.
You know, we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, it's sore. We'll see.
Patrick's going to have his ankle wrapped four times.
You know, it's sore. Right. We'll see. You know, the training he's working with. You know,
he's got some new cleats treatment, you from know, Adidas.
Like all these guys, you know, it's late in the season. Everybody's banged up, and he's getting treatment. Anyway. All right.
I want to learn something about Hollywood or DJ, but, you know, we'll see.
Let's get to a quick trash of the day. Trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right. Trash of the day takes us to a story out of Denver. Now, it has to do with a gentleman that's from Virginia, but...
Actually, about Colorado once.
It's sad, but it's a sad story. I hesitated at first, but then we found out more details, and it's like, all right, here. This is Trash of the Day worthy. Unfortunately, someone did lose their life. That's why I was hesitant.
We don't usually do death ones.
We don't. So... there was a group of individuals hunting a bear. Okay, group of five people hunting a bear. The Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources. So I don't know why the article is from.
Are you allowed to hunt a bear?
But the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources suggested that a group of hunters chased a bear into a tree. Okay.
Well, that seems like a bad decision.
Then, as the group retreated from the bottom of the tree, one of the hunters shot the bear. Okay. When this happened, the bear fell on a 58-year-old man while he was standing 10 feet from the bottom of the tree. Unfortunately, he passed away at the hospital later on that day.
Okay. First, are you allowed to hunt bears?
I think so.
Really? That doesn't feel like something you're allowed to hunt. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. I guess it kind of depends.
I have
on
no
the
idea.
Population.
I'll be honest, dude. I have no clue. Okay, I have no clue.
Either way, it seems like
I don't know if you are allowed to or not. Maybe the answer is obviously no. All I know is the story says. Someone will text in and tell us because I have no. You and I are definitely the hunting type. But basically, there's a group of hunters chase this bear into a tree. So I don't know why they shot at the bear. Now, were they intentionally missing the bear? It says they shot the bear, not shot at. It says they shot the bear, which caused the bear to fall out of the tree.
Sometimes, so like I told you, like if I die, I kind of want to die in a funny way. Because like the idea goal that like every day someone's like, hey, what happened to your co-host Cody? Every day you'd have to tell somebody that I died because a bear fell on top of me. is the most ludicrous way.
I almost
to tell people that every time. It's crazy.
At first, I was hesitant to do this for trash
of the
day.
Chase a bear into a tree and shoot it
because somebody had died. But then, like, you know, the fact that you died because you guys chased a bear into a tree and then shot him and he landed on you. There's an element to that that's very worthy of trash of the day. Someone says yes, it's legal if it's in season. Bear hunting season in Missouri as well. Okay, there you go.
There's bear hunting season? Man, I had no idea.
You want to go hunting?
No, I've never been hunting, but I also don't want to. Look, I'll just be honest. A deer is probably not going to wreck me up. I screw up something.
The bear?
Hunting a bear, that feels like it goes poorly for me. Like, maybe not falling out of a tree and killing me, but like, feels like mauling is on the
table. There is a little bit of F around and find out going on here. I'm with
you. Yeah. I honestly think you're taking your own risk. Turns out animals can hunt you back.
Mm-hmm. Well, this bear didn't even hunt him back. The bear fell out of the tree. You were standing under the tree.
I know. But this is like the same thing. This is like surviving the game. You hunt a man, they might hunt you back. You chase a bear, it might kill you. I don't know what to tell you.
Do we know what bear it was?
That's a risk you took.
Like brown bear, black bear?
That is the trash of the day.
Someone also says shooting, apparently in the hunting community, shooting a treed animal is kind of like bad energy.
All of a sudden, I can't hear you out of my headphones, so I don't know what you're saying.
You can't hear me?
Nope. Someone with my headphones. These are brand new headphones. I don't know what's going on, but I can't hear you at all.
Can you hear yourself?
Up next, I think there's music playing. I don't know. Hopefully. I don't know if Drew said something. He's probably saying we're late for break. It's probably what he's telling me.
Faded out.
Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're going to hear from Andy Reid at 11:45. Plus, let's talk more about what Travis Kelce is doing and what does it tell us about his future.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5, The Fan.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we were talking still about the bear story during the break.
Mm-hmm.
My legit question, as someone that doesn't go hunting, these people that were trying to hunt the bear, and those of you that maybe have hunted a bear before, like, I get if you kill a turkey or whatever, it's easy to, like, pick up and take it back with you. What do you do once you kill the bear? How do you transport the bear? You're not just, let me just...
Do you just, like, feel dress it and cut it up there? I don't really know
honestly,
how it works.
Legit question. What do you do? Do you have, like, a gator with you and you just throw it on the back? I mean, honestly, don't know. I'm fascinated by this.
Does it come with a winch and a hoist to get the thing up there?
Just drag the bear.
Everybody take an arm? I don't, you know.
Like, I just picture it.
Take a winch out to the middle of the woods.
I don't know, man. Alex is asking a serious question. I can't believe the other thing I can't believe the show hasn't talked about yet is the drones in New Jersey.
We didn't get into it deep, but that was said I almost picked it as a trash of the day on Monday.
Yeah.
Or on a.
So you think it's aliens or no?
Friday or Monday?
Come on, Drew. Is it aliens?
It's not aliens.
No.
Is it a government conspiracy?
Yeah.
It's government related. Yes. I think it has to do with our military in some fashion. Yes.
As in, because they said it's not a foreign government, which pretty much is just saying it's our government.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think it's something we're operating.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of question marks around that, obviously.
Someone says, here you go. Here's our answer. You skin it, quarter on site. Field dress, skin the pelt, quarter it out, carry it out.
Okay, so I had it right. Someone says,
how long does that process take? It's got to be a...
Everybody grab a leg, someone says.
But I guess, you know, like... So did you just leave the rest of the guts out there?
Well, yeah.
Some other animal come and get it.
Sure.
You know?
It's nature.
Seriously, yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever been hunting in your life? I've never been hunting.
Hunting, no. No.
I've been fishing once.
No, never been hunting.
We're not exactly manly men, are we, you know?
No. I've been out on somebody's farm before and they, you know, and shot shotgun or whatever a few times. That's it. But
I've never been hunting or fishing.
But as far as like actual hunting, no. No.
Have you fished?
Once.
I have fished one time.
I have done neither of them.
Maybe twice. I fished twice.
Look, we don't claim to be the great outdoors show here. That's not our claim.
I've never held an actual gun before, either.
Hmm.
Someone says coyotes need to eat too. They could have been teaming up on that bear, but you took it first. You know?
That's why you got to, as soon as you do your business, you got to get the hell out of there. So then those animals can...
Someone says, have
let's just take your phone calls. Your conspiracies on the drone. 913-586-7965.
That'd be a fun 20 minutes.
We don't have time for that. We don't have time.
I hate the conspiracy that is they're looking for a missing nuclear weapon underneath, and they don't want to tell you that it's missing, so they're looking for it. I kind of want to believe it's aliens because it's way more fun. And pretty much every single person who's worked for the government over the last two years has talked in front of Congress and be like, yeah, we got all kinds of stuff, and they won't tell you any of it.
You think if it was aliens, we just let them continue each night to continue to do this? No.
What, we're going to bomb them out of existence underneath the ocean?
If they were actually aliens, there's no way to let them continue to be chilling above New Jersey constantly. I think it's us.
So somebody said we need Xavier Leggett's help.
That's right. Raccoon. I was reading a quote. Not that we'll get the Chiefs in a second, or we're getting off topic. But thinking of the raccoon audio we played you, Xavier Leggett, my eating squirrel or raccoon. Jerry Jones was on our sister station down in Dallas as he does his weekly interview. They asked him if he's ever had raccoon before. He said, quote, this is the owner of the Cowboys. Quote, I've eaten a lot of raccoon. The answer is yes. It's not uncommon at all. One of my favorites is squirrel. It's wonderful. We all had our favorite pieces. My mom and I would even ask for the brain of the squirrel. Delicious. Seriously.
Apparently, squirrel brains are really good, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. People are inviting us out in the country to go hunting with them. Cody and Gold hunting trip. Could you imagine?
That's a new one. Somebody was like, you'll go to a house with no, like, power or electricity, but not fish or hunt. Again, I don't know the rules. I've fished at the lake nearby there, so that's where I fished a couple of times. It's a national forest. Am I allowed to just, I have to get like a license. I'm going to get a license. I don't own a gun or like a bow and arrow.
Somebody called us city slickers.
A bow and arrow.
People hunt. There are people who are bow hunters. That's a real thing.
Somebody called us city slickers. Is that Phil Robertson?
No, as I said, they're inviting us out to the country.
Cody and Gold hunting trip?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. You know, part of it's not appealing. It's like all these people who hunt.
Dusty
like,
just texted me and said he goes hunting every Friday night, Cody. That's what Dusty just texted.
Different kind of hunting. Mm. But it's like the idea of, hey, it's 4 a.m. Let's go sit in a tree for 7 hours in the cold. I don't know, man. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. I know you guys listening are absolutely stunned
to learn that this show, maybe not the Outdoorsman.
I know you guys are shocked. I'm glad we can shock you occasionally and surprise you with things. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to hear from Andy Reid. But I want to talk about Travis Kelce for a second, because this year, the underappreciated player probably is Noah Gray. And at this entire scheme, grand scheme of things, he leads the Chiefs in receiving touchdowns. Noah Gray.
It's making the transition away from Travis Kelce maybe a slight bit easier overall, because we know that eventually that's going to happen, whether it be the end of this year, like a lot of people think, or the end of next year. Like anybody else would think, right? I don't think anybody has it beyond this and next year for him. Travis Kelce only has 2 receiving touchdowns. He's got 709 yards. So he's going to come up short of 1,000 again for the second consecutive year. And this time he will do it with way fewer games. Matter of fact, it's going to be a sweat. If you just had his over, if you got it at 850, it's going to be a big sweat. I got it at 808, maybe a little bit of a 805, maybe a little bit of a sweat. Noah Gray has proven enough to me that at this point, like, the ability to get in the end zone is probably the strongest argument for. Like, he has, and I think you're probably right. If you made me rank the most underrated player on offense this year, it's probably Noah Gray. It's probably Noah Gray. What would he do with all those targets is the question now. He has 420 yards and leads the team in receiving touchdowns. That's only 280 yards off of Travis Kelce's. And I got to imagine the targets are half, a third. Like, I wouldn't say this about Travis Kelce because he's the Hall of Famer, so I don't think that's actually true. But I think you could have an argument that said, if you gave Noah Gray the same number of targets this year as Travis Kelce, would he have more yards? I don't think it's an unfair argument. I would say no, Travis Kelce would still have more because he gets to live off of Travis Kelce or off of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's very clear that
he doesn't have to be the focus of everyone's attention.
And we know Kelce still gets plenty of attention from defenders. But I think if we've watched these games this year, there's clearly a difference in play and where Kelce's at this year than what he has maybe in the past. Now, if we're saying that there's this drop-off, he's still pacing for, what did you say, 800 and...
He's got 709 yards. So he's probably pacing for around 850.
So if that's quote-unquote a bad year, it still puts in perspective how amazing a player, if we're saying, oh my gosh, what has happened?
But he's got 115 targets to Noah Gray's 46, and he's only 280 yards ahead of him.
But I will say with Noah Gray, the fact they got a contract extension done before the season, you know, that's one. If this ends up being the last year for Kelce, we'll find out if it is. But if it does, that contract for Noah Gray is going to look a heck of a lot better. Because we said it doesn't take much to be a top 10 tight end receiving yard-wise in the NFL. You know, Noah Gray's doesn't have to have a ridiculous jump to yardage-wise be a top 10 tight end in this league. and they were able to sign Noah Gray to a contract before the season, and that might end up being a really financially beneficial thing for them if this is actually the last year for Travis.
And that's it. Like, part of me thinks that, like, he said he wanted to go out on top, and finishing with, I think it's like 860 yards or whatever he's pacing for. Finishing with 860 yards, that didn't feel like going out on top for Travis Kelce. You know, like he said in his podcast on New Heights,
yep,
that he wanted to not just be playing or physically be on a field, but to be Travis Kelce. He wants to be what he's been this entire career. When he had 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons, when the career NFL record for a tight end was 3, he buried it. And again, it could have been 9. It could have been last year, 7 straight. It could have been another one last year. He made a decision not to go for the 1,000 even straight. But now it's just coming down. His yards per reception are down. This is the lowest yards per game in his career since 2017. But it's also like, you know, or ever, I guess, sorry. And so when you start looking at it, you're just like, you know, is he going to be able to look at the end of the season and say, I'm the same player? Versus like, and well, now I if you're the Chiefs, if he wants to walk, at least you've got some viable tight end play in Noah Gray.
That part's true. I think it'll be the playoffs will tell the story again. You know, because we do know last year the discussion around him, and then the playoffs, he looked like Hall of Fame tight end Travis Kelce. So what does that bye week do for him? So more reason why the number one seed's important, whether it's not having a chance at the one seed, so they sit him in week 18, or it's that they have the number one seed and he gets to sit out wild card weekend. That's what I want to see again, because last year we know what the week 17 game off was for week 18 game or week 17. Sorry, I'm so confused with the weeks in the NFL these days. But you get what I'm saying. Week 18, what that game did for him by not playing, by passing up the record, he ended up playing at a Hall of Fame level in the postseason.
What's crazy is like, you would think because of that, because he's older and like the production's been taking a dip down a little bit, that they would be like reducing his, you know, like reducing a little bit his snaps. No. His and Chris Jones, they seem like they're going up. Like they're playing them almost more than they're playing them less, which makes no sense. And you're right. The postseason is where he could still be like, maybe I didn't have quite the regular season I wanted last year either. But in the postseason, I was Travis Kelce again. As a reminder, this is what he finished with in the 4 postseason games. 7 for 71, 5 for 75 and 2 touchdowns, 11 for 116 and a score, and 9 for 93 in the Super Bowl. I mean, he has 1,900 career receiving yardage in the postseason and 19 touchdowns. He's a Hall of Fame player if he just only played in the regular season.
Sure.
But damn, his postseason stats put him on a completely different level. And so
let me ask you right now, I think without any new information, but just December 17th, knowing what we've seen from this team, not knowing if they're going to go to the Super Bowl or not, do you think, where are you at now percentage-wise that Kelce's back? Because I think before the season, you were like definitive, like a...
Yeah, before I didn't think he was going to retire. Now I think he's like 50-50.
Yeah, I lean almost more 60-40 the other way now.
Yeah, I think it's like a 50-50 chance he retires. In a lot of ways, I feel like if they win the Super Bowl, he will go. Because that will be the easiest exit in NFL history. You're an older player. You're coming off a career worst year statistically, although I would say that some of that is just the offense.
No doubt.
Right? I don't think that's just him. The offense isn't nearly as good as the worst offense they've had.
He was open against, you know, a few times against Cleveland, and he... the ball was overthrown. I mean, so so he still gets open at times.
Yes.
So it's not like he's not getting open, but
no. And I don't think his play has dramatically dipped in any facet, but like the numbers are starting to go down and you have to start looking at that. And if he has 3 Super Bowls in a row and a lovely girlfriend who goes on world, I think it'd be the easiest retirement in the history. Like if you were in the exact same situation, you'd be like, well, I'll see y'all later.
No, see, I think that's the issue.
That'd be
the
easiest, tip of the cap, dip out of the league of all time.
So I think easy in terms of going out on top or whatever. I'm just saying, like, I bet you it's got to be one of the toughest decisions he's ever going to have to make. This is like we talk about all these times.
Hard.
Yeah, I mean, it helps when you have a brother that's already gone through it now, and Jason, and you can get advice from him. And obviously, Jason decided to go the TV path. There will be plenty of other things, whether it's for football or not, for Travis, if that, in fact, is the case. We're, again, waiting Andy Reid. We also think we might hear from Carson Wentz. Typically, the quarterback will speak. Obviously, Mahomes is probably dealing with his rehab and stuff this week. But Carson Wentz could end up speaking. Doesn't mean he's for sure starting on Saturday, but it could be him.
Okay, so what's your stance on the, you think it's a government conspiracy on the drones?
Oh, I thought you were going back to the hunting, because the people made a good point. They're like, you could not go hunting with Cody. You couldn't be on the Cody and Gold hunting trip. You have to be quiet and not talk for long periods of time.
So what do you guys do? You just stare at each other? Like, how do you fill the space in your mind? Are you allowed to whisper to each other? What I'm asking is, this is, stop looking at me like I'm crazy. This is a serious question.
So you're
what
saying,
what do you do to fill the mental time? Because I've already discussed this, that I don't like silence on this show. How do you feel it? That's what I'm asking.
Would you be able to whisper? Like, if you, because you certainly can't talk. Would you be able to whisper, Cody? Like, everybody's whispering.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if that's what we're doing, sure. I've had little kids asleep. You know, when they're like toddlers.
We also be screwed because you have to be, you're supposed to be like really quiet when you move. You'd be dragging your super bone foot behind you and be making tons of noise through the leaves. So we'd be screwed.
Just that's why you set up a blind.
Across the board.
You appreciate nature, Cody. You sit back.
Not
and
a
you,
quiet
you
person.
Breathe in that fresh air out there. It's nature and God's country. You know, that's what it is,
if
Cody.
If we're moving, I like being out of nature. Like, I don't mind going for a hike or climbing things, but like, I got to be moving, active, doing something.
All right, here's
just
Andy.
Just sitting there seems like a problem.
Here's Andy Reid.
We'll see how that how it works out for him. And if he can't work, you know, then Carson will take those reps that that Pat doesn't. So we have full confidence in Carson. If he has to step in and play, then I think everybody, coaches and players, have full confidence that he can go in and do a nice job. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Texans. We know they're a heck of a football team, and working on that playoff, that whole playoff thing. And D'Amico's done a nice job with that team, along with his coordinators. They likewise have put together a real strong offense and defense. Special teams, one of the top in the league. So. Very well-rounded football team. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, do you have a hard and fast rule on, you know, you got to practice this much to be able to play, that you kind of set out there so it's not, you know, you're not leaning one way on what you want it to be at the time?
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit more day-to-day. Let's just see what he does, how he does, feels. I mean, he's always honest with me, so he's going to shoot me straight on it, and I'll be able to see him. Today's a lighter day, so we can get him in there and moving around a little bit. So.
Andy, to that point about he'll always be honest with you. Obviously, he also wants to play. How do you break down that conversation to try to really get at where he is?
Yeah, he'll talk to me. The doctors will talk to me. Trainers, you know, keep it open. Once you're out of the game, you know he'll shoot you pretty straight there. So you know, it's during the game that his juices are growing.
Andy, obviously it's three games in 11 days. You've got a game 4 days later. How, if at all, would that factor in your decision to play Patrick on Saturday?
Yeah, listen, if he can go, he'll go. If he can't, then he can't. I mean, you know, that's keep it that simple. We're not, you know, that's how we'll roll with it. So, and then I'll just take it day by day and see how he does here. Yeah.
But at this point, there is a chance that he could go. He's not being ruled out.
Oh, there's a chance, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Does it factor in? I mean, you're in a position now where you know the, you know, two wins and you get the number one spot. Does that affect your judgment at all?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the games count. So, I mean, it's a game in, you know, in the NFL, and it counts. And, you know, if your guys can play, they play. I mean, you know, as long as it's medically, if they're fine, they go.
What did you learn about Carson in your time here with him? What do you like about him if he has to play a lot for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's started in the league and been successful. He's got a great feel for this offense. Very smart. Big arm. I mean, I like the way he carries himself. I like everything about him. He should be starting in this league somewhere, you know. So he's a heck of a player.
Andy, what's the plan this week for Hollywood and for Steven
Nelson? Yeah, so again, just seeing them, how they're doing it every day here. Stevie will probably need a little bit more time than maybe what Hollywood will need. But, you know, just let's take it day by day with those guys and see where this thing goes. We've released Clyde, so we have a spot available. We've got these injuries that we're juggling here, so we just got to see how that goes before we move somebody up or down or whatever, you know, Veach wants to do with that thing. But we sure appreciated Clyde too for all he did here. Love to get him back sometime too. So I mean, he's what a great kid he is.
Andy, you mentioned this last time we talked to you on Friday was the Hollywood just practiced. How did he come out of that as far as what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, he felt good. I mean, he felt good, moved around well, took quite a few reps. It wasn't a leg injury, so he's been working his legs. He's one of those real good endurance guys anyways, but he's been working his legs throughout here. It's just a matter of this whole thing and how it feels when he's going. But the doctors have really said it's healed up nice and looks good. So we'll just see. I'm going to do just like you are. I'm going to play it by ear and see how we do here. And if he can go, he'll play. If he can't, then he won't, you know.
Andy, he's been through, Patrick specifically, he's been through obviously multiple ankle injuries. I know you would not want your quarterback to get hurt, but the sport is violent. Is there experience that you could use based on him playing through these injuries multiple times that can either help with the game plan or just give you better trust in like how he's going to play if his mobility is obviously limited?
Yeah, so you don't want it so limited that he can't get out of the way of things. I mean, that's... He knows he's had enough of these where he knows kind of where he's at and he's able to communicate that. So I listened to it and our docs check him. Rick, he was living with Rick and his crew yesterday. So, and he'll do the same today. I mean, that's how he rolls. He likes to play. So, I mean, but he's honest with it, too.
Coach, in your study, how did you feel like Joe Tooney did out at left tackle? And Humphreys is out of the mix. Will you stick with Tooney?
Yeah, I'm weighing that. But I thought he did a nice job to answer your question, your original question there. The guy he was going against is one of the best in the league. And he held his own. He had a few where he got caught off balance. But I thought he battled his tail off and really, for just throwing him out there, did a nice job. This guy, when you think about this, now he's played every position and done well, and a pretty amazing guy that way.
We'll go last to you, Seren, Jeremy, and Sam. What's Seren?
Coach, I know you like to, you're going to design a game plan for the skill sets of the guys you have, and Carson and Pat are going to be a little bit different, and then you like to talk to them and what are they like. Does it put more stress on you and Matt and the staff to kind of maybe have two game plans, when you're here not knowing?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, one of the things, those two guys are very similar in what they like, which helps. I mean, that.
You're listening to Andy Reid here on KFNZ FM AM HD1 HD2 Kansas City in Odyssey Station. You heard from Andy mention Patrick Mahomes is going to give it a go today at practice.
They're good with it. There's no more stress than you normally have. It's not a stressful deal. Jeremy, I'm not trying to meet deadlines. So.
Andy, with your offensive experience, how do you try to help a quarterback like in Carson's case who's had success and then now has to sort of reset their career as a backup and try to get their footing again?
Yeah, well, I love the way he goes about his business. And, when you listen to Pat, you go, this guy... Well, why isn't this guy starting somewhere? That's the conversations you hear with guys that are in that room and coaches and players. And so, I'm hoping that he gets to keep going selfishly. I'd like to keep him here, in his position. But I kind of know what's going on out there with quarterbacks, and this guy is, I think, really good. So,
I think Sam's got his already, so we're good.
Okay, good.
All right, so that was Andy Reid here on 96.5 The Fan. The big news out of that was that Patrick Mahomes will try to give it a go with that ankle injury. Also said that, as expected, Shamari Connor out of practice, with a concussion. And then DJ Humphreys will not practice, still dealing with the hamstring injury. We're going to react a little bit more to what he also said about how he's going to handle this week. Plus, we're going to hear from Carson Wentz. That's all coming up next here on Cody and Gold.